guys, this is Jimmy over at the Disney Nerds Podcast, and I just wanted to take a minute to talk to you about DVC Resale Market, a World of DVC company. DVC Resale Market is the leader in the DVC resale industry, with 13 former Disney Vacation Club guides and 3 former Disney Vacation Club quality assurance managers. If you're thinking of buying DVC, browse the largest selection of DVC resale listings anywhere with DVC experts on hand 7 days a week to answer any of your questions. If you're thinking of selling, turn to the friendly professionals at DVC Resale Market, where over 98% of listings sell within 30 days. Go to DVCResaleMarket.com or call 1-844-382-7767. Let them know that the Disney Nerds Podcast sent you.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 481 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? And welcome back to the show. This is Ed. And on this week's show, we've got Jimmy with another great interview. This week, Jimmy's got Tammy Tuckey. If you know the name, you might remember she was on the show about a year ago and made a promise that when she was coming out with her second album, she would be back on the show. So here we are, getting ready for her second album release. Tammy is a very talented individual, and you're really going to like this show. So without further ado, Jimmy, take it away.
Thank you guys for joining. Again, we will be giving away a copy, an autographed copy of Tammy's new CD, Glowing in Timeless Places, the MVC, the most valuable commenter or question in the group tonight. We also have a couple clips, some clips we're going to play and let you guys hear some of the music from her new album. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, God, I struggled, Tammy, last time because there's so many things. It's like there's like recording artist, Emmy Award winning, musical actress. I mean, there's like your titles. So last week I don't know if you're familiar with Mark Daniel. He's like, he does a lot of Disney park stuff. So last week we had him on as a special guest, and all of his things are like yours, you know. It's like actor and voice actor and, you know, Disney.
He's done everything. I love him. He's done never everything. Met him, but love his work.
Oh, he's fantastic. You have to come to a Disney Nerds Podcast meetup.
I know. That's on my agenda. I would love to meet all of you. I'm going to be at the next Retro Magic event that's in September, but I know you guys do your meetups in November.
Like, well, the big
right? So
yeah. Yeah.
Need to find a way to get
when
there.
Is the Retro Magic one?
They're doing it around October 1st because it will be highlighting Epcot specifically. So they just, I think they released their tickets today. So I'll be there to sing, hopefully.
I don't want to jinx anything, but you know, we used to do our meetups the first weekend of October until Hurricane Matthew.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
But
then we started doing them. We started pushing them. Okay, so then we went to the first weekend of November. Mm-hmm. And then we realized, that's race weekend. We don't want to do that again. So now we moved to the second weekend in November, which at the time was the last weekend of Food and Wine, which we really liked. Now, you know, they pushed the festivals out to where Food and Wine even ends up after us. They announced the dates today, actually, for Food and Wine Festival. So it's even past our weekend. So our weekend will be November 10th, 11th, and 12th for our meetups. On the 10th is our our premier meetup, and this year's our 10th anniversary. And the past couple of years, Mark Daniel has stopped by and said hello to everyone. Last year, it was the that the night of our meetup was the media event for Wakanda Forever. So
what a night.
Meetup is in Splitsville. So they were in Mark and our friend Scott Atwood and his son, they were at that event next door at AMC. So when it ended, they came on over and hung out with us. But the year before, Mark and his wife Barbara were there for the whole event. They're fantastic people.
They're really
proud to call them friends, along with Michelle and Scott Atwood. Really, really good people.
I know. I was trying to message Michelle. I haven't heard from her in a while. I saw her at the D23 Expo. So
oh, did you?
I did. We ran into each other. We were like in one of the press lines because it was like my first time doing press. So they were kind of giving me all the tidbits and we were just talking. And I know they do their event down in Florida too. So
I think so cool. I think the last time you were on with us was right before D23, wasn't it?
I'm trying to remember.
I want to say it was. I think
last year. I don't know if I was with you guys last year. I'm trying to remember. We haven't talked. I don't think we've talked for like a full year and a half or something.
So now you're gonna make me look.
It's been a while. Oh, while you're looking up, I do have the album in my hand.
Yeah,
here it is, you guys. Here it is, Glowing in Timeless Places in physical format this time, with all the lists of songs and people that are going to be on the album. So you have a chance, if you have a great comment tonight, you have a chance to win a signed copy. Yay! So I'll put this little precious little CD right here.
I like it.
You guys can see it. And it's right behind me. Yes, yeah, so we've been working on it since, we got everything funded from Indiegogo back in June. And we've been working on it for a good 9 months. And now we're ready to deliver this baby to the world, and it comes out on Saturday of this week, so April 15th. And you can get a CD copy, or you can digitally download it on Amazon and iTunes and stream it on Spotify and YouTube Music and all that good stuff. So, hi, everybody. So, Fulton, hi. I'm a friend of your mom's. It's cool to see how far you've come. Oh, hi, Joan.
I'm
thrilled. That's so cool. Nice to see ya. I don't know if we ever met. Oh, hey, Dad. How you doing?
Hey, Dad. We're glad Dad made it. Sorry,
he's already
we're
got
late.
His copy, so he's not going to win.
He's excluded from the contest.
Yeah. Sorry. You're related, so no. It's cool to see, like, I am just so relieved I don't need to bring up the comments, because I do that on my interview podcast. I just get to sit back and relax.
You get to just watch and read. Fulton says, I love your music. I love your talent. I'm a huge, biggest number one super fan of your music.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm excited for you to hear what's coming out. You know, it's like 11 songs. 10 of them are covers from the Walt Disney theme parks, and one is an original track that I wrote called Cinematic, that's inspired by the Disneyland Paris attraction Cinemagique. So I'm excited for you to hear that too.
Who was developed by our mutual friend Jerry Reese.
Yay, go Jerry!
Yeah, I love Jerry.
He's my favorite. I love him. Hi, Jerry.
You know what, Todd? I'm kind of hurt. You've got yours. I don't have mine yet, so. It's okay, though. That's all right. So without further ado, let's play one song. And I got this one kind of queued up because I had trouble. It was too large to download it. But we can play it here and kind of just give it
and
a quick
listen. And hi, Michael
listen.
From Tampa Bay.
Hey, Michael.
We're going to Canada, y'all.
I love this song.
Me too.
If you sing it in English and French, I'm going to be very excited.
No. I have a special guest who's French and he can sing the lyrics.
Of course, this is not going to play for me.
It's frozen. You want to refresh the page, maybe?
Maybe. Let's see.
Joan says, I first met you when you were born. Oh, boy, Joan. That was
nope.
That was a while ago.
There we go.
Canada, journey for the traveler.
Le voyageur.
Canada.
Canada.
You're a light line of wonder on this planet Earth.
Canada.
Canada. You are far too fast and beautiful for words to ever really tell. Canada, 10,000 dawns and sunsets I could see, and still not know you well.
J'ai suivi la trace de tes oiseaux de neige dans les forêts. J'atteins peu à peu ton cœur et je vois, comme si, comme l'enfant.
Canada,
Canada,
my Canada,
aboutissement d'un rêve pour tous les.
Wow. That is so, just so, so incredible.
That's a fun one. And that's my friend Serino.
You know, it's interesting too, because it's like almost like a reversal, because in the
yes,
in the original, it was flipped, the parts mm-hmm. were flipped. But it's just incredible. It's always been a favorite song of mine. I guess maybe because, well, first of all, it's beautiful. But mm-hmm. second of all, because it was part of that, you know, the original, those original soundtracks, those Disney soundtracks, because, and that was one of the original songs that was, I don't even think they incorporate it anymore. Well, they hardly even play the movie anymore. I mean, all during Food and Wine Festival, they make it like the Appleseed Orchard. And they
which
don't
is
even,
really
they don't
beautiful,
even,
by the way. I love it.
It is.
I like
it's gorgeous.
It.
And my wife likes the all the what are they? The seltzers or whatever they do there. It's not seltzers. It's hard yes. ciders. Hard ciders yes. that they do there. So my wife loves all those. And it is, they really do a good job of making the place beautiful, and it's a wonderful place just to go relax when it's hot out. And the movie now is not, it's okay.
I like the
it's
Martin not, Short version, yeah, but I yeah, think I'm just course. Like, you know,
yeah, it's incredible. Yeah.
Jerry did that one too. Jerry did that one, and he directed Eugene Levy in the new one for his vocal performance. So I
he's
thought that was
so,
cool.
he's so, Jerry Reese is just so incredible. We just had a, last week I was well we were doing the last week we were doing the extinct attractions kind of battle with Mark Daniel, and it was Jerry's name had come up a lot because he had directed so many of them, like Extraterrestrial, and you know, we talked yeah. about Felicia Rashad and Dinosaur, and so he mm-hmm. got to
he's got a list.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's an incredible amount of stuff. All right, so before Glowing and Timeless Places,
mm-hmm.
it is Meet Me on Main Street?
Yes, it is. You'll Find Me on Main
you'll
Street.
You'll Find Me on Main Street.
But it wasn't like, it wasn't a CD copy. It was yeah. only a digital release. Digital. I just didn't have the funds to do it on a CD. But technically, it's my first CD. It was seven
first
songs.
Album.
Yes, first album.
Because you got to front all that money for them to make the CDs mm-hmm. before you can sell them. So you got to raise the money. And that was your first one, You'll Find Me on yes. Main Street, which is also pretty incredible. I looked it up. Last time you were here was in July of last year.
Really?
So
okay,
so
I was talking about this.
So
D23
was
D23? In September.
September. So right yeah. before... 2 months before you went to D20, I remembered you were talking about the idea. You were floating around the idea of the second album, but I don't believe you had. I don't even know if you had a name. I don't think you even had a name for it yet. At that
no, point. Didn't have a name, but had the funds by July, so yeah. we were ready yes. to go. But didn't have a name yet. Had to think on that one.
And I found you through Jerry Reese. He shared a video or something, a YouTube video, maybe yes. when you were first starting to raise money for this album, he shared a video and it had one of your songs from the previous album on it. And it was pretty incredible.
I think that was Tomorrow's Child, New Horizons. Cause I think you messaged it to
was.
Me too. So.
It was.
And
oh,
thank
God,
you.
It was so good.
This one's a, they were just saying a change in me from my outdoor concert from 2 years ago from the Beauty and the Beast. Oh. I love that one. So thank you. And thanks, Michael. I'm so glad you like it. Hi, David. I know. It's a beautiful song. Wait till you hear it when you have headphones and when you're in the car. This entire album has been mixed and mastered by a friend of mine, Brendan. And what a beautiful, fantastic job he's done. He has added elements to it. And he helped me, especially in the recording studio, to kind of like create a character for each song. Because I'm all about that. So, oh, Jody, what a good idea. What
that
shall
is a
we
terrible,
sing?
Terrible, terrible idea. I don't know why you would want me to ruin any of these classic Disney songs. It would ruin your memories. However, if you find me on certain nights at Epcot, maybe around 8:30-ish, you probably could catch me singing.
We go on through the joy and through the tears.
Right. You may catch me singing during firework, like Epcot Forever when it comes back. I think the next time I'm going down to Disney will be in July, and then we'll be back in September. So Epcot Forever will be back. And, yeah, you definitely will get me singing some Epcot Forever stuff.
Good. That's what we want. Of course, Fulton, every time, hopefully I'll be able to tour one day and sell these albums in person and then sing with everybody in person. So it's a good idea, Michael. Yep. Perfect listening for the road trip. That's true. So yeah, we have a couple of songs on there. We go from Epcot to Magic Kingdom to MGM Studios. Yes, I'm calling it that. And Animal Kingdom. So we hit all four parks. Throughout the album, because I wanted to at least, you know, represent each park. You know, each park has its own like sound. So, you know, it was interesting kind of picking out songs because we had a list of 25 songs that people had suggested, and it was kind of just whittling it down to what was plausible and possible to do vocally. And how can you change something that's perfection, right? It's hard. So are you just going to add on to it to make it, to elevate it, right? So that was the challenge. It's like, how do you make it your own yet familiar? And that's, I think we did a really good job with what we had. So
we did Epcot. Let's hop over to Magic Kingdom and do one in Magic Kingdom. Tell everybody a little bit about this song. Cause I wasn't sure where it came from, but the song is A Cowboy Needs a Horse.
Yes. So this song you hear it in the background in the walk around area loop of Frontierland. And it is from a cartoon that was from the 40s, 50s. Dad, I know you're in the chat, so you'll probably be able to chip in because he had shown me the cartoon on 16mm because my dad had film. And so I grew up watching film. So I saw the cartoon on it as a kid. And then the Disney sing-along tapes would take clips from films and these short cartoons and put them on. So that's how I knew A Cowboy Needs a Horse. And it's just a cute little song. I think just so adorable.
Are you referring to like those live action like sing-alongs that they used to do from the parks?
So yes, it was a mixture. They did some live action and then they did some cartoons that were hosted by Jiminy Cricket. So this one was a cartoon one, but you're right. The live action Disneyland Fun has the song Main Street USA that you hear. And that is also on this album. And I sing it with the original songwriter, Stu Nunnery.
All right, so let's listen to A Cowboy Needs a Horse.
Ooh-wee. Ooh-wee. Oh, a cowboy needs a horse, needs a horse, needs a horse. And a cowboy needs a hat, needs a hat, needs a hat. And he's gotta have a rope, have a rope, have a rope. If he wants to keep riding. Now a cowboy needs some boots, fancy boots, fancy boots, and a set of shiny spurs, shiny spurs, shiny spurs, and he's gotta have a song, have a song, have a song, if he wants to keep riding. Oh, the fence is long, and the sun is hot, and the good Lord knows that a cowboy's gotta keep riding, If a cowboy's got a horse and a hat and a rope and a pair of fancy boots, shiny spurs and a song, then it's very
pretty good. I don't know that I know that song, but I like it.
If you ever sit at Pico's Bill, you might hear it.
I'm sure like now I will. Background. You know, what's the chances of me not have ever heard it, but not knowing what it is. So maybe now that I've heard you sing it, when I'm in the parks and I hear it, I'll be able to.
That was a replacement song too. There is actually a song, believe it or not, for the Thunder Mountain Railroad called The Ballad of Thunder Mountain Railroad. And I really wanted to cover that, but it has never been released. David, I'd love to sing some Lion King. So I couldn't cover it because it hadn't been officially released. So I was just listening to the background loop of Frontierland, and I was like, oh my gosh, there's the cowboy needs a horse. And just faintly in my background, I'm like, yeah, it's played there before. You should know that. But I was like, oh, great. This is a perfect one to cover, you know, because I wanted to kind of go a little Western again, because everybody loved I did the Country Bear Jamboree, the Great Outdoors song from the Summer Vacation Hoedown. And a lot of people liked that one. So I was like, I got to do maybe another Western one. I love those.
Who doesn't love the Country Bear Jamboree? I think you should do a awesome cover of Western. Blood on the Saddle.
I would love to.
All those are so great, though. It's so entertaining. And just the history and knowing that those are all like actual, like
they're all actual country. Songs, yeah.
They were all old, very old, actual country and Western songs. And they, you know, people today don't even, they go listen to it and they don't even realize that. They think, you know, it's just Disney
They're
made
like,
up.
This must have just been made. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's, but those are all actual songs.
We did all that we could.
So, yeah.
Yeah, Jody, it's really cool. The history of the music. I was just saying to somebody that it's just so, it's sad. Oh, hi, Charles. I love you too. I was just saying it's really sad because I grew up with the physical media of the CDs and the cassette tapes of the Disney theme park music. Like that's how I was introduced to Tomorrow's Child and One Little Spark. I never got to experience those, it you know, versions of those attractions. Sure. And I only heard it through song, right? So it's just so sad that they did nothing for the 50th anniversary. Disney didn't release a remastered version of these songs or some rare songs. So I was like, well, this might be a perfect time to release this, right? Because
have you seen Epcot Forever?
I don't like fireworks. It's too loud for me. I watch everything online. So I have seen it online and it's okay. I love Illuminations. I think that soundtrack will never be surpassed for what it is.
No, so, it's incredible. And most people don't know. And years ago, we did the story of Illuminations. Do you know the story of Illuminations?
Are you talking about the Millennium version or the one before the Millennium?
Well, it's all kind of the same story. Just Illuminations, Reflections of Earth is kind of the story of the musical arrangement is basically the Big Bang.
Yes.
It starts out.
Gavin Greenaway did it.
And then I think the first set is called Chaos, and then it goes into, you know, and then as the globe came out, it came out white and then kind of turned blue and then turned green. And then you see life is prior on. So just this, but not even knowing that it was my favorite. And then knowing that, I'm like, oh my God, it made it even more. Just it was even that much better. Yeah, it will always be my number one. And I've seen it. I've probably seen Illuminations 100 times in person. Mm-hmm. And play the soundtrack. I mean, I have a Bose stereo system, like surround sound system in my living room. And that's
nice.
Like when I test things, like how it plays, that's what I go to. Like, how is this going to sound?
How is the surround sound? You're going to have to let me know what you think of my album. If it's,
I'm going to have, I will, I will let you know. I will. Yeah. You may need some help with Blood on It. I don't know. You're either going to have to redo it or it's that's a pretty deep. That's a pretty
Blood on the Saddle. That show is just so much fun. I love singing along to it. And then some people are just like sitting there like, but you're like, come on, let's get in. Yeah, you know, it's supposed
to be.
Show.
Yeah, it's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be going have ridiculous. A good time. And it's so ridiculous that it's that and like. Of all the things they've removed because, you know, just different day and time.
At least they haven't touched it. You know, I forgot that Disneyland doesn't even have their own country fairs.
It's true. And How that and Mr. Toad's Wild Ride has survived in Disneyland, I don't know.
Oh, we were there in September, and I totally missed it. I was so upset. I wanted to ride that again because I love how the ending is.
Jody, you and Jamie are invited to my house. I've invited you guys.
I'm
you know
what?
And I invite you guys to Disney all the time, and you always go when I'm not there. So,
oh, Jody.
Jody and
Who are
Jamie,
you?
Her husband.
I'm Jamie. How could you?
It's probably Jamie commenting, I'm sure.
Tears will be the chaser for your wine.
Yes.
And poor also Jimmy. He's just exhausted, guys. He's tired.
The adult humor in that too. After the big bear dangles from the bear dangles from the ceiling, she sings, and the guy's
Come
like, "I'll be
sometime,
right
on.
I'll
yeah,
be right up." And and he's like, "I'll be right up.
I need to find me a ladder."
Yeah. That's great. That stuff is great. So not this past January, but the one before that was the first time me and my wife had ever been to Disneyland. Mm-hmm. I had seen Mr. Toad's Wild Ride in Walt Disney World. My wife had mm-hmm. not. Her first trip was our honeymoon in 2000. It was already gone. We got to ride that in Disneyland. And my wife got off of that and like, what in the hell was that? I'm like, you haven't seen the movie?
You've never seen the movie?
It's a frog. He gets drunk and drives and dies and goes to hell.
She's like,
and it's a
what
Disney attraction.
You need to show her the live action version of that with Eric Idle. It is the stuff where nightmares are made out of, man.
Oh my
it is
God. I don't know
horrifically
if I want to watch that.
Scary.
Oh my God.
No, you
I
do not.
I don't know if I want to watch that. I didn't know that existed.
Oh boy, it exists.
How excited are you for the new Haunted Mansion movie?
Oh,
have you seen the trailer?
I have, and I think I think it's going to be good. But I think
you're
a lot of
cautiously optimistic.
Harp on the Eddie Murphy version, which I actually like. I enjoy. I enjoy what they were trying to do, and they couldn't go all the way because they weren't allowed to get a PG-13 rating. I feel like if they had given them that opportunity, I think it would have been even more successful.
By the way, I think, in my humble opinion, Eddie Murphy is one of the best comedians of all time.
Yeah. Oh, he knows what he's doing. He's very good.
But it's hard to contain him to PG.
Yes.
Like, his humor does not, his style of humor, like, I think he's fine.
And there's some
PG
language
13.
In there.
And I think he's fine keeping it PG-13. I mean, he's done a lot of those, The Nutty Professor and, the, you know, The Crumps? Whatever
clumps,
it was. Clumps.
Yeah.
And so those, I mean, you know, they weren't terrible, but keeping him to PG, you kind of not
it doesn't
letting him,
work.
You're kind of not letting him do his thing a little bit, right? You kind
of, he does have a couple of curse words in there that he sneaks in. And I also had interviewed some of the people in the cast, including Master Gracie, Nathaniel Parker. And they had filmed a lot more of the Master Gracie in the past. So there is more to that, and they just cut it out. So, and I actually would have preferred more of that. I love that, and I love what they were trying to do with, you know, kind of a, you know, talking about how the wife was, well, the soon-to-be wife was killed and all of that. I thought it could have been a lot better. But, you know, like Jennifer Tilly as Madame Leota, perfect casting. Terrence Stamp as the evil ghost. He's so scary. That zombie sequence in the catacombs, like, that is the stuff that things are, you know, that is the stuff that creeps me out. And that's Rick Baker and his makeup team and just creating these crazy looking, you know, ghouls.
Yeah, I think it got more hate. I really think it got more hate than it deserved. However, it is not as good as the Tower of Terror movie, which was made for Disney.
I
made
love
for
that
Disney
one too.
Channel. That was so good with the young Kirsten Dunst. And,
it's good.
It was really it's really funny, and really Steve Guttenberg is amazing in that. It's really well done.
I like it when the posh guy goes, the little Sally Star, the little tap dancer. He goes, "Go away, child, and tap something." It kills me every time. Oh
I
my god, it's so funny.
You know that one? They made it. I mean, that's kind of. they at least they had a story to go by, right? Because the Tower of Terror really does. That's kind of, they kind of followed along the story. It has a structure.
Haunted Mansion does not.
And they're starting to build it in there a little more with Constance Hathaway and, you know, the bride who kills all the husbands. And they've built that in since then. But when they did the Eddie Murphy movie, that none of that existed in that. They really didn't have any structure to go by. Yeah. They just went off of basically nothing.
And it's 20 years old this year.
Wow.
Can you believe that? That's tough. It's going to kill me. I think somewhere I have, like, they did the McDonald's toys. I still have my Grim Grinning Ghosts bust. And if you press the button, it sings. It goes, Grim Grinning Ghosts. I don't think it works anymore.
That might be worth money. Yeah, it might be worth so much money. You just don't know it. You got to search on eBay.
Those were the fun times because there was so much, you know, McDonald's play toys. Oh,
they were great.
God, I'm missing it, Jimmy, so much.
Fulton, I am excited about the new Muppets Electric Mayhem. But while we're talking about Haunted Mansion, did you see the Muppets Haunted Mansion?
No, I have not seen that yet. I heard very wonderful things about it. Is it good?
It is so good. It is so good. And so many great, so many really good cameos. I mean, traditional Muppets. I mean, it's just got so many, like, great cameos in it. You need to.
Oh, good.
You definitely need to go watch that one. It's so good.
I have it on my list, like that and the new Chip and Dale movie. I haven't seen that.
I started that and I couldn't get into it, but sometimes, you know, it may have just not been the right time. Sometimes I need to go back and revisit things because sometimes I'm like, I may just not have the attention span because sometimes you got to pay a little more, especially in the beginning of a series, you got to pay a little more attention. So I probably need to go revisit that.
At some point.
Michael, if you go on Amazon, usually you can get the 4-pack of... It's usually Eddie Murphy's Haunt. No, it's usually Tower of Terror, The Country Bears, Ichabod and Mr. Toad. It's like a 4, or maybe a 3-pack. Maybe it's those three for like $20.
I think it's on Disney Plus, though, too.
Oh, you maybe I'll get it on Disney Plus.
And people, you know, post it on YouTube. Don't read into anything because it kind of spoils the ending. You want to be surprised by the twists and turns. But I have interviewed some of the cast members on my podcast. So if you want to take a listen later, you could take
a good
listen.
Stuff. I like it. Did you have
They're all so sweet.
Did you have Steve Guttenberg on?
No, not yet. I would love to.
He's such a, oh my God. He's a lot of these young folks these days probably don't know who Steve Guttenberg is, but. He was another comedic genius of my youth and teenage years.
I saw him in the Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen movie, It Takes Two. It's like a spinoff of the Parent Trap movie. And so he plays the dad, and then Christy Alley is his love interest. And it's so good. It's so funny. You would actually really love it. It takes place in New York, too. So it's like really, it's great. So good.
I saw Mary-Kate and Ashley in Disney once when I was a teenager. They were still little kids, like when they were filming.
Was it when they were filming Full House?
Full House, yeah. I don't think they were filming. They just happened to be there. Like, but we saw them there. I was probably 16 or 17, and they were still little kids, you know.
That is awesome. I'm old. Jealous. I always wanted them to be my best friends. I still would love to meet them.
my biggest star sighting at Walt Disney World was Ashley Eckstein. Me and Morgan got to see her. You know, she does the voice of Ahsoka Tano and runs her universe. So this was the day after the 50th. Me and Morgan were in Magic Kingdom, and her and Brett Iwan, who's the voice of Mickey Mouse, were they had somebody, and they were doing like little social media posts around the park, and we got to go talk to her, and I felt terrible at the time because I didn't know who Brett Iwan was. So we went to her and, like, you know, just fangirled out and got pictures with her. And poor Brett Iwan was standing off to the side, like, I'm Mickey Mouse. What the hell? I guess one of those things about being a voice actor, though. So,
yeah, you're kind of not known. It's so sad. Like, a lot of the older voice actors really never got their, you know, their notoriety in some sense of the word. So everything's a little bit different now with social media.
It is. It's different because you have an opportunity to put a name with the face and all that. And actually, you know, I got to do this past January, we went to the House of Mouse Expo. We had a booth at the House of Mouse Expo, and Brett Ivan was there. And I actually recorded a whole panel he did with Mark Daniel held the panel and with Brett. And it was really good. It was really good hearing about him. And he's a really good Mickey Mouse. And it's crazy how much tradition goes into that and how much you really got to pay homage to the people who did it before you. And you can't just make it your own. Yeah, you can't just make it your own. You gotta make it what it is. And not that you can't put some of your own little spin on it, but you gotta keep it real too, you know?
Mm-hmm. What a golden ticket he has. Like, I could just, my full-time gig was doing a Disney voice, I wouldn't be able to help myself. I'd be like, you know, and that's also one thing I love about certain talents and celebrities who actually consistently do their voice. Like Larry the Cable Guy will not allow anybody else to do Mater because he has his own kids and he doesn't want to hear anybody else playing the character. And I want to say good for him, because sometimes those days are just in the studio for hours and you're just, you know, in your jammies and going and talking and it's hard work though.
It is hard work, but then at some point, you know, like
you get to hear it in the parts.
A lot of Eddie Murphy's parts, his brother Charlie will do in other things. Because it's also like, yeah, for like Donkey and I think even some of
Tom Hanks does the same thing with his.
But I mean, it's kind of like, does Eddie Murphy really have the time to go do, you know, Mulan 4.5?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? True, like
what an honor to have a character like your own.
Oh no,
like,
it is.
If I was, I would have been like, oh no. I want to be the one who does the voice.
But you also gotta have the time. You also gotta have the time. I don't know. Charlie Murphy does a pretty good Eddie Murphy.
Oh yeah, he does.
Yeah, it's tough to tell the difference. Interestingly enough, though, I've been watching. I kind of watch Star Wars animated features on a loop. Like I go through Clone Wars, then through Rebels, and then this is the second time around I've seen. I'm on Resistance, which has Poe Dameron in it. But
mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, what's his name? Oscar Isaac.
Yes.
Or is it Isaac? Yes. Oscar Isaac. I noticed in the credits that he does the voice for Poe Dameron, which I thought, well, that's pretty freaking cool because that he did that. And that wasn't Resistance of, you know, out of Clone Wars, Rebels, and Resistance. Resistance isn't nearly as popular as Clone Wars and Rebels.
They probably signed a contract to do that too, because now they're more prominently featured in the video games. So it's actually them in the video games now. Because in the past, it was like, you know, people just filling in for Keira Knightley and the Pirates of the Caribbean game. It's like not her, you know.
And you look at Clone Wars, I mean, they don't have, you know, they've got voice actors that do Obi-Wan and Anakin. They don't have, which they were at the Comic-Con here in New Orleans, and they've made their own fame as voicing those characters. So it's really cool.
Yes.
It's interesting now to see the flip side of that. Mm-hmm. And when you see Bo-Katan, who was an animated character, and they use her, the voice actress, as the actress, which
that's
is pretty
really cool.
So that, she was a voice actress, and then they flipped her and made her the actual actress too. So it's pretty cool. It's good stuff. It really is.
And are you loving the Star Wars parks? You like how they have given the rides, and you like how it looks and everything?
It's incredible. Yeah, it's really incredible. The guy, I forgot his name. He's the same guy that did the Harry Potter stuff. Like, Universal stole. It's Scott. Somebody in the comments is going to tell me. It's Scott something. But Universal stole him from Disney, and he did the Harry Potter stuff. And then Disney stole him back, and he did Star Wars for them. So those guys just have such great imagination that it's, you know. There's a constant battle.
To be an Imagineer, guys.
I know.
Oh,
I know.
A dream.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go back to.
Is really good, too. So
let's go back to Epcot for one more song.
Yay.
I remember this one from probably my first visit to Epcot in 1986.
Oh, I think I know what it is.
Veggie fruit. I simply have to tell you that my friends who are singing are delectable. Meals are divine as long as you can dine with fruit and vegetables. They're good for you, everyone. They make your meals a lot of fun. Like a carnival, it's nice to be with fruit and vegetables. Substitutes for we veggie fruit would seem a balanced meal always wins with our vitamins A and C. CC fruit veggie fruit.
I'll tell you, I would bet that wasn't your voice.
It's like me.
I know, but it's like it's so like hearing your speaking voice and your singing voice is just so, which is I guess common, but having a conversation with you, like if somebody said, "Guess who's singing this?" and I was in front of you, I'd be like, "I don't know."
Huh? Yeah. That's the fun of creating a character. Like you can really kind of delve into your voice and change it and craft it and try to make it different. That was like my biggest fear of doing One Little Spark. Because it's so revered as Figment is the way Figment sounds and Dreamfinder is the way Dreamfinder sounds. So that was probably the recording session I was scared to do the most. But you will never know if you don't try. So I think that actually turned out really well. And a friend of mine, Patrick Richwood, which many of you know as he's kind of Gary Marshall's lucky star. And he appears as in cameos in his movies. And you might know him as the nosy neighbor in the Princess Diaries. And he was in Adventures in Wonderland as the White Rabbit. So I asked him, I said, could you be Dreamfinder? Because it would be so cool because I grew up watching him doing in Adventures in Wonderland. So he was like, you know, like the Dreamfinder to me. So he agreed and we do this duet and it's so much fun. And Disney allowed us to do the actual lyrics from inside the attraction, which have never been, you know, done as a cover before and released like this. So that was a real treat to do that. So I can't wait for you guys to hear that one too. You can actually hear clips of all of the songs. Like there's like little 30-second clips on our music player, which is at tammytucky.com/order. And then you could pre-order the CD from there too, if you'd like.
How much is the CD?
It's $20 plus shipping.
And if they order it, just the digital?
I believe it's, I think, the same thing. I got to double check. It's been a while because I submitted that back in February or January.
Obviously no shipping, though. Obviously no shipping.
No, but if you want the physical CD, you should get the physical CD.
I mean,
you got to have it in your hands.
And there's something cool about it.
Because the booklet we have inside actually has photos from my family's trips to the parks. And each photo corresponds to one of the songs you hear on the album. And we have our list of our wonderful Indiegogo supporters and on there and my lyrics to my original song. So it's a really nice booklet. It's beautifully, the color, I love it. When I saw it, I was like, it's perfect.
All right, Tammy was wrong.
What did I do?
The MP3 album on Amazon is $9.49.
Oh, okay. Then that's what I guess. I don't remember. I'm sorry.
And I think your options for the digital copy is Amazon or iTunes, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I think it will be able to be played on YouTube Music and Spotify too on Saturday. So
nice. So good. I love it. It's very exciting.
Got a lot of comments. Everybody's liking the veggie fruit.
So here's a question from Jody and Jamie.
How did I come about singing these songs? Well, I think like I had never really, you know how big celebrities always have a Disney album? And when you hear it,
Is this your Disney album?
This is my Disney album. And it's niche, right? Because it's theme park music, but
yeah.
Who else? Like, I've never been able to find anybody else who has released cover albums of theme park songs. Nobody. Nobody.
I mean, occasionally you can find like stuff that's like guitar music or just piano music from theme park attractions, but not actual covers of them.
Not fully orchestrated, you know, music. And and so I think this is why it sets me a little bit apart, I hope. And
most
I choose different titles.
Yeah, most of the time, you find covers, it's going to be of the movie stuff, which some may overlap into the parks, but you seem to focus more on specific theme park music, which is incredible because it's a different niche.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people
theme park music, it's a different niche than you know. It's for like Disney nerds like us who really have a strong focus on the park. We like the movies, but we have a strong focus on being in the environment and being in the parks. Yeah.
And a lot of people like have just these memories of hearing this music and they're like, oh my gosh, I haven't heard that song in so long. And wait, it's a little bit different now, you know? So that's always another plus.
And I think, I talk about this all the time on our podcast that, you know, a large portion of Disney is nostalgia, and it's it kind of brings you back to a different place and time, and lets you separate yourself from the outside world for a specific period of time where you have a what is the phrase, a willful suspension of disbelief.
Yes. Yes.
So, absolutely. You know, you can kind of go there and just be in it and not feel anything else around that, not worry about the job or the traffic or the outside world
in general. It's nice to put your phone away and be present and with the cast members, you know, I mean, the cast members are everything.
I'm going to share something with you. We're doing something pretty neat for the podcast, for the cast members. We're doing these little giveaways I'm about to share with you. We're in the process of having them made. I'll share it with everybody once they're made. But I'll tell you about it after we go off the air, Tammy.
That'd be great.
I know, I love them all.
They're so great.
And we have a lot of friends who are cast members. I'm a big proponent, and this is, everybody does Disney a little bit different. And if you talk to, you know, 10 different people, they all have 10 different opinions on the best way to do it. And a lot of people like the value of staying off site. I've always and will always be a proponent of staying on property. Even though it's more expensive, and I get that, and some people like to rent a house and have the full kitchen and all that stuff. To me, it's about staying in the bubble and having that everything else pushed away the entire time I'm there, not just for the 8 hours I'm in the park and have to deal with it on the way to the park and the way back to the residence.
Exactly.
Wherever you're staying.
And plus, you're not there to sleep. You're not there to hang out in the hotel room. Correct. You are there to be in the parks. The only time I'm in my hotel room is to sleep for 7 hours, and then I'm up and out and ready to go. So I take it seriously. I'm a Disney, you know, fan when it comes to let's go. We're going in the parks. We're getting there rope drop. We're staying till late. We come back, sleep, and then out. So
shave, sleep, and that's about, you know, just slap some deodorant on and right back out the door.
Go for it. What's your favorite location to stay overnight at?
It depends. So that's the big answer, because for a long time it was All Star Movies. And Value Resort, it's probably, I don't know, now it's probably Pop Century. And I've always been one that swayed more toward All Star Movies than Pop Century. I like the resort All-Star Movies more than I like the resort Pop Century. The Skyliners kind of give Pop Century the edge.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So the ability to hop on the Skyliner and be in Epcot or Hollywood Studios in just a few minutes deal with buses is pretty incredible. You do pay for that now. Pop was always a little bit more than the All-Stars. Now it's a good bit more than the All-Stars. But in the past, since 2019, I think me and my wife bought Disney Vacation Club.
Really?
So we've been able to stay. Our home is Saratoga Springs.
Okay.
Which we stayed for the first time this past November.
Isn't it nice? It's very nice.
I love it. And in the room, we had a preferred view room. a preferred room, which means we could walk to Disney Springs. We were on the third floor, and you walked out our balcony. You could see all of it. You could see Cirque du Soleil, and you could see the balloon. Oh. And you could see. So it was pretty amazing.
That's nice.
So we bought in 2019, and then COVID happened. So, which didn't affect
what
us
a great
from going,
thing.
Which didn't really affect us from going to Disney, but what it did do, it has allowed us to book places that you normally couldn't if you owned at Saratoga. So we were, you know, during that time, we stayed at Boardwalk a couple times. We stayed at Beach Club once. We stayed, you know, so it allowed
Beach
us
Club
to book
is our
places.
Home base. We love Beach Club.
So we would take, during that time, we took advantage of that. And so we never really did stay at Saratoga. But then in November, this past November, we stayed at Saratoga. In July, I'm staying at Saratoga. I don't know in September. September, we might be staying at Old Key West. Sometimes I'll choose Old Key West, too, because it's still very nice.
Old Key West is nice, yeah. I haven't been there in a long time.
It's usually less points than even Saratoga.
Yeah,
So
true.
Sometimes I'm like, you know what? I'm fine with.
When are you going in September? Are you going? Are you going at the end of September? When I'm
going
to be there?
We're going
we're
going like the 6th through the 12th. I know.
Darn! I was really hoping I get to meet you.
I know. Well, you're gonna have to come to the Disney Nerds Podcast meetups in November.
I need money. Well, I need to be rich.
Everybody go buy a CD or two or five. Give them out as Christmas gifts.
Please.
Stock up now for Christmas gifts. So Tammy can come to the Disney Nerds Podcast meetups in November.
Yes, that would be great.
All right. So one more time, where can they buy the CD?
So you can get the CD at TammyTuckey.com/order. If you want to follow along with some cool, you know, behind the scenes and promotional materials we'll be sharing during this entire time, especially some clips from the cabaret we just held last week where I performed some of these songs live. You could follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Tammy Tuckey, or you can also like my Facebook fan page at Facebook.com/singerTammyTuckey. And I do my own YouTube podcast. I took a break because I'm promoting the album, but I'm back at the end of May. So you could take a look and subscribe at youtube.com/TammyTuckey. My most recent interview, I think, was actually the reunion I did for Treasure Planet with the directors, and also James Newton Howard dropped in. So that was pretty darn cool. That was in November. So there's a lot of backlog. All my interviews are live, just like what we do here at Dizzy Nerds Podcast. So you can tune in and you can ask your questions along with us. So I hope I'll get to see you for the next couple. My next one, I think, is with somebody who played Tarzan in Tarzan Rocks at Animal Kingdom. So
we just talked about that on
the throwback
on our last show. We were talking about extinct attractions, and we talked a little bit about Tarzan.
Miss it. It was hot.
I never. I never saw it.
Who are you? What? It was always hot because it was an open air theater, and they would always sell ice cream.
I thought Tarzan Rocks was in the amphitheater that Finding Nemo the musical was in.
It wasn't a closed theater though, honey. It became closed when they did Finding Nemo.
it's so good. Finding Nemo the musical. It's not as good as it once was.
Yeah, I heard they cut back a lot. So
yeah,
I haven't seen it yet. I heard it was shorter too.
I mean, I don't want to say it's still fine. Like if you've never seen the original, I don't think you would really even notice. But having seen the original, it's kind of like.
See, that was another one I really wanted to cover something from the musical, right? But I was like, no, I'm a big this time around. So I just went with ICU from Avatar because I don't like the movie Avatar, but I have been thoroughly enjoying that part of the theme park. It is beautiful.
Yeah, it's really,
kind of
it's gorgeous.
Gives Atlantis vibes for me. So
it's really gorgeous.
Yeah. So I was like, I want to do the song. So
while you're on Tammy's site pre-ordering her album, don't forget to also go on there and go ahead and buy her first album. And there's a link on there for You'll Find Me on Main Street, which I think is equally as beautiful. And I've got to listen to both, and they're both very, very, very well done.
Thank you. Some more Epcot songs.
obviously the new is the new, but I got to give some shout outs to the Tomorrow's Child / New Horizons medley.
That's a favorite for a lot of people. Yeah.
And Two Brothers.
Yes. With the original Two Brothers singer, Ali Olmo, who joined me for a duet version of it. And now she's back on this album. She's going to do the Epcot song.
Legit brings tears to my eyes. And then, Celebrate the Future Hand in Hand,
part of the Millennium Celebration
Illuminations. That was me and my wife's honeymoon. We were there for Tapestry of Nations and the Millennium Celebration when they had the big 2000 on the top of Spaceship Earth. So
my 2000 Barbie, she's there. Yeah. Yep, I miss it all. So
me and my wife got married in February of 2000, and that's where we did our honeymoon. So it was my wife's first trip.
What day?
February 26th, we got married. So we
were
probably there.
Birthday!
How about that?
That's my birthday. Oh,
like 2000?
1996.
All right. So you were four.
I was four, but when that's my birthday. That's I love it.
You were four. 3 days later, or 2 days later, we were in Walt Disney World for my wife's first visit. And then we've been fans ever since. Well, I've always been a fan, but she's been a fan ever since.
That's so awesome. That's so awesome. Give her my love, too.
I sure will. Okay, guys, go out, pre-order Glowing and Timeless Places.
Here it is. It's so pretty.
When me and Tanny get off, she's going to select
one commenter. This one right here.
And she's going to autograph the inside cover for you. And Todd, you can't win. I don't care how many times you comment.
No, Dad, you can't win.
So we're gonna select one, and we'll get that. We'll notify you, and get that shipped out to you guys. One valuable commenter will get an autographed copy sent to them. Thank you guys so much for joining, Tammy. Thank you for coming on. We hope to see you soon.
Yes. I thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun. Thank you, everybody. My dad's going, but.
No. I bet it's his CD signed. That's what I want. Is his autographed?
No, but I can't.
Oh, see? You're going to get, so whoever the commenter is that gets picked gets one that even her dad doesn't have.
Yes, that's signed. Thank you guys so much for joining us tonight. I was so great. And thank you for having me. I hope you guys had a good time. Enjoy
have a good
the
night.
Album.
We'll see y'all next week.
Bye.
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace, the haunting's free. So hurry back, we would like your company.